Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Conservative.
What I don't like about Washington is they're very nice to your face, and then they take a shiv or a machete and they stab it in your back. I'm a Wall Street guy, and I'm more of a front-stabbing person, and I'd rather tell people directly how I feel about them.
Nobody talk about politics, like, don't say anything, you know.
A marriage that's been through it all.
She has filed for divorce over his naked political ambition.
These are the views of a couple in love. A couple with children. A couple with differing opinions and perspectives. A couple that survived.
He's kind of like an impetuous guy. In many ways, that's great. In some ways, it's tough when you're married.
What leads them back to each other? Communication, conversation, and a realistic outlook on the world we live in. Your hosts, Anthony and Deirdre Scaramucci. This is Mooch and the Missus.
Hello. Hi.
Baby.
What does James say? Hi.
How you doing? Welcome back.
He's a human torture chamber already, up all night, and then he gets up this morning, nonplussed, fully energized, ready to go again.
Yeah. Get it. Meanwhile, we got a three-hour nap because of him.
Meanwhile, I'm like a one-eyed monster.
We slept from four
right
to
now.
No, 3 to 6.
You know, what a one-eyed monster is?
Yes,
that's what
we
I
all
am,
know.
Yeah. I thought I would tell you.
So like you at 5 a.m. in Vegas?
Oh my God!
A one-eyed monster. Yuck.
All right.
Anyway, so, speaking of which.
Talk to me, baby. Did you?
I just came from the gynecologist, so abortion is on my mind.
Why is that? We don't.
No,
God
I'm
forbid.
Thinking.
I
mean, no, I'm just saying that it's on my mind because right. That's where things right, like so, that go down.
So where?
And I was actually talking to my doctor about it, and she's, you know, it's just like a very sensitive topic. But she was also telling me that. Before I got to the office, she was reading an article on when she gives people, or when she's speaking to an expecting mother or expecting parents, she can no longer say gender. She has to say assigned sex because now there's this whole thing where it's not PC to call it gender.
All right. I have to call total and absolute bullshit.
Well,
on
so
that.
She's
I mean,
saying that she's going insane and she can't keep up with this stuff, and people are so
lost their minds.
Yeah.
Everybody's offended by everything. You can't say, "Hey, you know what? Somebody comes out with a penis, another person comes out with a vagina. That's a man, and the other person's a woman." If the person gets old enough and they say, "Hey, listen, I was born improperly," we should, of course, respect that. Okay, like we do Caitlyn Jenner or anybody. But this nonsense that we have to drive it into a four-year-old, you know, the nursery schools are now teaching same-sex marriages and all this other stuff. You know, okay, what difference does it make? We have partners of ours that are in same-sex marriages. I fully support same-sex marriage, but we don't have to make
no,
it.
The thing about
this
it to me is like it should
atrocity.
Only
it's
like things
so
like that. It's not age appropriate. Like I don't. That's what I'm saying. We don't bring. We don't explain to them why. Oh, people get married. Period. The end. Ever. So why do we have to make it a thing? You know, we're like bringing stuff up that in an unnatural way, which is making it more awkward.
So let me ask my beautiful wife. I think Trump is president because of this stuff. I think it is a backlash. I think people say, okay,
yeah, but I'm so confused
tired
about
of
the,
this political correctness.
Okay,
I'm closing
so who,
the curtain. Let me vote for Trump. He's a supreme asshole, and he'll torture all these people that are now torturing
okay, so
me.
Who are all the people then? You're saying it's split down the middle? Because then it seems to me that there are so many of the people who are sensitive and stuck
oh,
on this stuff.
The loudest.
So
they're
who
just
are the
loudest?
Oh, they're just the loudest.
No,
okay.
The silent majority, which you and I are no longer the silent majority because we're talking in front of microphones. The silent majority is like, hey, this is bull. I had enough of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm tired of the political correctness. I'm tired of the microaggressions. I'm tired of the safe space. you know, I mean, I got the opportunity to speak at a school. I'm not going to mention the school, but the students had to have a debate with the faculty about the potentiality that I could have said something antagonizing or inappropriate, and it was a big deal. I've never, look, I got caught.
Well, that's because you, they're going caught, off of that one thing. Yeah, that so one if thing, you just base it on that thing, I could that see I that there's a concern, right?
I got it, but if I've they never know once you. Cursed in a public setting, you know,
no, if they ever
the
watched any of your appearances on TV or anything, they would know. But
here's the thing, honey. Trump is the president, in my opinion, because of this stuff. Okay, so you're talking about abortion. And so without naming names, what is the gynecologist saying?
No, we were just saying that it's so unfortunate that there's no, again, middle of the road. It's either we're having abortions when the child is about to come out. We're like passing that law, or we're passing a law where if you're raped or it's incest, you have to have the, it's like, okay, where is the common sense? Where is the middle ground? Where is it? Because neither one of those things encompasses any common sense.
Do you buy the argument that men shouldn't have a say because it's not their body?
Well, I just think everybody is so hypocritical, because I would love to know, of all those men making these decisions, if it got revealed, if all the files were dug out, like how many of them actually have had instances where maybe somebody they were with had an abortion, they were a part of the decision to have one, or I just imagine women basically ran the country and were making, imagine I made a law that you have to, after you have five kids, you have to have a vasectomy or something like that. Why do I have any say over what you do over it with your body?
Don't touch my peepee, honey, other than to play with it, because I don't want anything to happen to my peepee.
No,
I mean, that's like
no.
Horrifying.
Can you really listen
I'm
to
listening.
Me? Because this has
I'm
got
listening.
Me like.
I'm listening.
You're looking at your phone.
No, I'm looking at my phone because I'm looking at the notes on the topic to make sure that I'm well prepared. Go ahead.
The notes are on the piece of paper, liar.
Okay,
I'm Royale. Listening. Okay, so.
Busted. You got busted. I just got busted.
Anthony, at the ripe old age of 55, still doesn't know that you should just admit to the malice or whatever you're doing versus try to make excuses, because the person still knows what you're doing and now you look even stupider because you're lying. Is stupider a word?
It's in.
Okay, so.
It's hurtful, Neil.
All right. Anyway.
It's hurtful to get caught like this. Go ahead, keep going.
So no, what are you bringing
you
up this?
You are fake news.
No collusion.
What do you.
I'm going to say.
What are you bringing up about the men? Yeah. Why should like all these old, white, crusty men be telling people what they should do, that if they're raped by your brother, you should have a baby?
Right. I mean, look, I'm a libertarian.
That's so
crazy.
That's so lefty. That's so right. That's so far to the right. That's like not normal.
I grew up in a religion where the birth is a conception. Some people believe that. I'm not telling them what to do.
But you don't think there's any instances where that might not be the best thing for the child or the
I'm not done. I'm giving my whole opinion. Okay. That's their opinion. That's what's best for them. God bless them. Mazel tov for the Catholics. But flip side is there's another group of people that have different religious feelings and the science
right,
is
right, so don't you think we should just
things?
Like so bring it to the middle?
But everybody's nuts. If I say I'm pro-abortion or pro-choice, then you got 50% of the people hate your guts. If I say that I'm pro-life.
But that's why you just have to be real. You just have to keep it real.
My
I don't think that you should use abortion
choice,
as birth
so maybe
control,
that's
pro-choice, right?
Then. Maybe I would prefer. You know,
Anthony, you're pro-choice. I'm going to tell you you're pro-choice, okay?
1,000%.
Because
I know that I'm pro-choice. I'm not saying that I'm not, but I think you and I have agreed on this.
But the choice has
to
be.
Try to have more birth control to reduce abortions.
Right. The choice has to be because of something legitimate. It's not because you just don't use birth control. It shouldn't be a form of birth control, but
right.
We should
that's
use
all.
It. When it really needs to be used. And nobody should say that you can't do that, especially if you're in one of these states and you have low income and you have no access to real good medical care and like you're stuck like that. Like what if you have a very, I don't know, compromised pregnancy and there's something really wrong. Maybe there's a genetic defect or a chromosomal disorder and then you can't even get proper medical care, but you have to have this baby. That's not fair to the baby or the parent.
So listen, I mean, you know, you have
I don't know. It comes
people.
Down to common sense.
I
understand religion.
Why
I
we
get
love
it.
Each other. You and I are in agreement on this, but we have religious people say different things, and they're very fervent about it, and they would cast an eye of judgment.
What happens to separation between church and state?
That's my point. That's my point. It's in the First Amendment. So I'm a libertarian more than I am anything else. So you want to have same-sex marriage? God bless you. You're born and you have...
It's not our business, right?
You have outdoor plumbing. You want to switch it to indoor plumbing?
God bless.
God bless you. Right. You want to go the other way? God bless you. I don't care. Why would I care? It's your life.
Like you said, I know that a bunch of people are probably going to disagree with us or me.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to take that rap because I just think that it's gone way too... And by the way, I don't agree at all with like the stuff where you can have an abortion so late term. I don't agree with that stuff at all unless you're in dire straits. To me, that is so upsetting and horrifying.
Yeah, so that's the flip side of it. I think that's absolutely disgusting. I don't agree with that either.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I'm in the middle ground like you are, and I think most people are. But where the society now is, you have very loud squeaking from the left and the right. Squeak, squeak, squeak. And people think that that's... the society, but I bet you the society somewhere between the two of us. Can we talk about Alfred E. Newman for a second? Do you know who Alfred E. Newman is? Let's see if the generation gap.
So why are you talking about exists. Pete Buttigieg?
Yeah. Do you know who Alfred E. Newman
is? Well, I only know who Alfred E. Newman is because you are my husband and you're 15 years older than me and you school me on these things.
I'm like sort of horrified by this. All right. Neil, can you pass me the hair dye? I got to dye some of these gray pubes that are underneath my belly button. Can you pass me the hair dye over there? That's shoe polish to the left there, Neil. It's a Cuban leader black. Can you pass
it? Okay, go on.
No, I'm just saying, like, I found it fascinating. I'm a subscriber to Mad Magazine since, like, 1978. So, of course,
I know. Do you think he looks like Alfred E. Newman?
He does a little, yeah.
With, like, it looks like cartoony nose.
Yeah, with
and
the
stuff.
Lips and everything and the way he smiles. It's a little bit out.
He's Maltese, like my ex-husband.
You're taking out the ex-husband on a cash
No, I'm bar? Saying he's Buttigieg is a Maltese name.
Oh, he's Maltese. I thought you said he had small teeth. I thought you were taking out.
Small teeth?
Oh, he's having Maltese. Okay. All right.
Well, he said Maltese like a little white dog.
I thought it was like.
Okay. Anyway.
Right. Anyway. So, no, I mean, here's the
Maltese
problem.
Falcon.
Here's the problem. Okay. He does look like Alfred E. Newman.
Okay, but that's not what people should be saying.
And so he
it's
says
not about
it,
what he looks like.
People
Trump
giggle.
Looks like a like it's someone's grandma from
it's,
like.
It's demeaning to the mayor.
He should be wearing a house dress.
Trump is crazy.
Obviously, Disney and the Hall of Presidents, they have him as Mrs. Doubtfire. I mean, look at him.
Exactly.
He looks like Mrs. Doubtfire with man boobs down to his ankles. So I don't know why. What I don't get is that like he has a total license on this stuff. If he hits you. The right strategy is not to hit him. 18 people hit him. It had no effect on him. So Buttigieg, Sleepy Joe Biden, all of this stuff that he says is going without counterattack. Do you agree with that, or should he be counterattacked? Because I got great nicknames. I mean, I'd be firing left and right. Of course, I would.
Depends who's delivering it.
So who,
you know what I mean?
All right, so let's say I was delivering.
It wouldn't have much effect if it's like somebody who doesn't
like
normally. It's like add a character for Pete Buttigieg to be like calling.
Okay, well, I'm a fellow New Yorker. Let's say I was delivering the nicknames. Do you think it would be humorous?
Yeah, no, it would probably resonate more with people.
Oh, my God. I mean, I would be like water balloons coming from left and right everywhere.
Yeah, but you did that to me and it made me think. So probably be quite effective. Okay, so.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Okay.
Neil,
I mean, you're supposed to play sound when that shit's happening so that I can get out of the.
Well, why are you bringing up Pete Buttigieg? Because
no,
he did
because,
the town
because
hall?
Because I just, he did the town hall, got a standing ovation. The guy's unbelievably articulate. I sent out a tweet saying, I support the guy's right to be married to another man. He is a war veteran, and he's the mayor of a city. I
you
support
forgot?
It.
Where?
And so we put the South Bend in, yeah. And so I put the tweet up. And I get eviscerated and attacked. And then I had people inside the White House, according to several journalists, say, don't go to Scaramucci's conference. He's going to endorse a Democrat, blah, 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 which is a bunch of malarkey. And that's fine because that's how Washington works. But the point being is that, you know, why go after the kid? You know, he's got a good voice. He's an American. He's making a contribution to society. I think it's a little nasty. And I think at some point, it's a little bit like McCarthyism where— everybody's talking about how nasty it is and how wrong it is. And then at some point, people say, you know what? I had enough. I have had enough. And so, you know when I've had enough?
When?
If he threatens the system. like in these subpoena situations.
Yeah, but like I read today, like Don McGahn didn't even show up for his testimony or something like that.
Okay, well, Don McGahn is different because you have to opine. He's the lawyer inside the White House. And then the question is how much executive privilege, like how much privacy does the president have as a result of talking to the White House lawyer? Now, he doesn't have as much as talking to his own personal lawyer, but you know, I could see the president pushing that and then let the Supreme Court decide that. But Congress has subpoena power and Congress has investigatory powers over the executive branch. And so if they start full-blown rejecting subpoenas like family members and just people or
well,
the,
Don
or the,
Jr. made his
no,
rules.
He came.
Yeah, but
he's
he said you can only ask me this and it's going to be in this amount of time.
Well,
and
I think that's a lot of strategic posturing. Like that. I think that he... I applaud him for going because I'm sure he got good legal advice that you have to go. But if they threaten the system, and I said this to several people that hate Trump, okay, I like the president's policies. I want to be loyal to the guy as a person. I'm not in love with the antics on Twitter and calling people Alfred E. Newman and all the stupidity. But I do like the president's policies. But if he's going to threaten the system, the 243-year-old system, it'll be 243 years old in July, you're going to threaten the system, then forget the policies, you know, because you can't have somebody threatening the system. So go for the system. You're going to lose everybody. And that's my honest opinion about that. And by the way, you should lose everybody. You are serving the country. You're not ruling the country. The house you're living in is the people's house, and they're giving you the right and the privilege to live in that house temporarily. And so I really hope they don't threaten the system.
Mm. I think he thinks he rules the place.
Justin Amash.
No, I don't want to talk about him. He's so annoying.
Like, okay, you don't like him? What about about Kamala Harris and the gender pay gap?
Yeah, she's 1,000% right.
How do you fix it?
Well, she's saying if she becomes president that she would put an executive order in or something or make it like a federal law that you have to pay women the same thing you pay men, which makes complete and total sense.
Right, but let me just ask something.
It's like, why are you getting paid more than me?
At Skybridge. I pay people equally.
No,
but
I know that you do,
also
but why?
Pay them fairly.
You know what? I've been fighting to talk on this entire podcast, just
go ahead.
So you know.
Go ahead, you talk.
I just think at this day and age, it doesn't make any sense that someone has to make this an issue, that it even has to be said or done, and that it's not already in place, because it's 2019. And so the fact that I'm getting paid 80 cents and because you are a guy, you're getting paid a dollar, it's wrong at this point. You know, there are women who are working, who are just as smart, just as qualified, just as capable. We have women running for president. We have women doing everything, doctors, you name it. Just as talented, just as qualified as the men, and they deserve to get paid exactly the same.
Can I ask you a question?
And I'm not like some women's lab. I'm not burning my bra.
So I
just think like what's...
I have a man and a woman. They both have the same title.
Right.
The man is
this
working.
A real story? Or
this
you...
is a hypothetical.
Oh, okay.
Man is working a 100-hour week, and the woman is working 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Should they get paid the same pay?
Oh, no.
Okay, so it's about
fairness,
not equality.
See, I don't ever believe... anyone getting anything that they don't need or deserve for free. Like, there's no free lunch. You know, I don't really believe everything should be based on meritocracy. But if you're working the same job, doing the same thing, the same amount of hours, there's absolutely no reason why I should be getting less money than you.
Totally agree. I totally agree. I'm just saying, for me, the standard has always been, I've run two companies, the standard has been
who would say that I have to work 3 days and get paid the same as you? Is that
I don't know. But
people
I mean,
are doing that?
Well, here's what happens, and people are going to be upset with me.
Oh, because of the being a mom?
No, not that, but here's what happens, okay? And I think the certification thing is a great idea, but then women also have to certify that they're not suing. Because here's what happens. You set the thing up. You're going to help the person. The person doesn't get the promotion that they think they deserve, but you're the boss and you decided to promote A versus B. And then B says, oh, you didn't give me the promotion. That's great. I'm going to bring a lawsuit against you for sexual discrimination, equal pay discrimination. And if you don't pay me XYZ millions of dollars, I'm going to drag your name through the New York Post and Page Six, and I'm going to destroy you. We're in the Me Too movement.
Totally.
hey, that's not fair. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that is not fair. I watched, a kid never named the woman, but I watched a woman at Goldman Sachs do that to somebody. She didn't get the promotion. I thought from a fairness perspective, because I was very close to the situation, she didn't deserve the promotion.
Right.
But she went high hog after them, never got another job on Wall Street as a result, but she got paid very handsomely, and they hit it. They swept it under the rug. You like that?
Nah.
Doesn't help women.
You have to make decisions. No, that's the thing. There's always somebody who is, you know, peeing in the soup. Because this all is like, hypothetically, it all sounds like well and good when you say, oh yeah, you should just treat everyone equally. But then there's always some like person who has to act inappropriately and mess it up for everybody else, you know? So now people are afraid to not promote somebody or something like that because they're afraid of being sued. And that's where it all just gets really messy and why people can't make clear decisions. So speaking of nobody getting any free lunch, so this Robert Smith offering, well, not offering, he is, I don't know, donating $50 million to, what is it? Morehouse, right?
Morehouse College.
So it's an all-male college, mm-hmm. I think. So he's paying all of the student loans for the class of 2019. So it's like $50 million. So that's amazing. But somebody brought up a good point, that these kids have to pay taxes on this stuff and they have to pay it like next April. So now they're going to like maybe potentially need to get funding to pay the taxes.
Okay. Is he going to true it up
on the gift?
Is he going to true it up through the taxes?
No, I don't think so.
We'll have to see.
I don't know.
Well, I bet you. He's the type of guy that he probably would. I mean, I know him personally. He's a great guy. I think it's a great gesture. I mean, he's putting.
I think it's an amazing gesture.
Putting $40 million.
You know how good he probably felt to stand up there and tell those kids that?
Right.
Like,
right.
That just like inspires them to do good, you know? makes me feel good that they're still good people.
I think it's an amazing thing, and it takes a lot of pressure off a kid if they can graduate from college without that debt. They can have a lot more flexibility in their careers. They can pursue their dreams more clearly, and they don't have that millstone of debt.
Yeah, that actually, we don't talk about it enough, but that's actually a humongous problem in this country is student loan debt, right? We even tried to start something to...
Yeah, I mean, we were trying to create an equity sharing relationship. I think that'll eventually happen.
Yeah.
Probably just a little early on it, but you got to
figure... It's like basically you like invest in the person and you share their expenses because it's almost like you're investing in a business. But...
You have to figure out your
opinion, because I don't watch it, but to end on a lighter note, before we go to our special guest, we have an Indy race car driver here, Helio Castroneves, who's racing on Sunday in the Indy 500, which he's already won three times, so he's going for his fourth win. I think he's going to. But I don't watch Game of Thrones, but you do, and my mom does, and a bunch of my friends, and everyone was like, that was the biggest letdown of all time. What the hell was that?
So
even like the people that are actors and actresses on the show were saying, like, when they first read the script, they were like, is this a joke? Like, they didn't think it was real, but they had to go forward with it because that's what they wrote. But
well, I can tell you that my son, when it was
no
over,
spoilers, no spoilers,
no spoilers. Yeah. I was gonna tell you, my son, the ranking. My son, when it was over, he surveyed the four kids that were in the house. On a scale of 1 to 10, the highest number was a 6 out of 10. And he, who's a total aficionado, lunatic Game of Thrones person, gave it a 2. I saw it, and I would say 5. I mean, I got the point of where they were going in certain plot lines, but I thought that
didn't
there was
like
more
not
elegant...
address everything, yeah, too? Yeah, so yeah. They left you with, like, blue balls, right?
Yeah, there was a lot more dramatic way to end it. But, you know, listen, these guys produced an epic... most talked about show, I think, more talked about than The Sopranos.
Yeah, but they were leaning on the book, and then...
Right, they were relying on the book.
Yeah, and then when they didn't have that, it was like doo-doo.
That's one of the criticisms, but, you know, to me, and I would encourage people, if you're Game of Thrones fans out there, to listen to their interviews, because these are two incredibly bright guys, and they are very, very smart. And the one guy, David Benioff, I've read two of his novels. One was a spy novel. Excellent
writer. But they got in over their skis or something.
Maybe. That's what
I think they tried to do it in two little episodes. Like, they should have done it over a longer stretch, I think.
Yeah, but they was probably getting Game of Thrones fatigue. But I have to tell you, it was a great 8 years of Game of Thrones, and it didn't end that well. You remember The Sopranos. A lot of people walked out of The Sopranos finale.
Oh, I remember that, and I was like, what the hell was that?
WTF. So sometimes it's super hard.
My only takeaway was the Journey song.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all I remember. Exactly. Like, they were in a diner, and they left the diner. Like, everyone thought he was going to get shot.
Right.
You were waiting the whole time. They were just sitting at a diner having a conversation, and Journey, Don't Stop Believin' was playing.
Well,
it was like, well, okay.
And that's how David Lynch wanted to end it, and that was his, he left it very enigmatic.
But now they're making a movie.
But it's a pre-movie, right? It's a prequel.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, right? So it'd be interesting. But here's the thing I would say. Game of Thrones had a little bit of everything for everybody. And even a person that doesn't like fantasy universes and science fiction, like my beautiful wife, you would like it. And so I'm going to get you started on it. And we're going to start season one in the House of Stark. And you and I are going to watch it. And you tell me if you like it or not.
Sounds good.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You can do the intro today. Join us
in
this podcast.
I want you to do it.
No, I want you to do it.
Oh, that should be the intro. See, that's how we fight. See? So we're live, you lives. This is what goes on here, okay?
It's so good.
I say I want you to do it. She says you want me to do it. Let me tell you, this is a lot cheaper than therapy, okay?
After we were just talking about how his wife is driving him crazy. She says one thing, he says another.
After you win for the fourth time, God bless you a million times, you can have a podcast with your wife. We'll come on, and my wife will teach your wife how to beat up on you.
How's that?
She probably doesn't need
Adriana
any help.
I'm sure we're going to have a great discussion.
Yeah.
It would be fun.
But ladies and gentlemen, Helios Castroneves.
He's extremely white.
Castroneves. But don't Castroneves. Worry. Don't feel, because people call me Julio, hello. You know, and there is all kind of names.
Hello.
And
that's a very cool name. It's like
it's a Greek name.
It's a Greek name. It means like
it's
something
God.
About the sun.
It's sun.
Yeah, the sun.
Helios is God, but it's sun, basically. So I'm the sun god, godson.
You're the sun god, yeah.
Sun god, but it's also related to the Trojan War and Cassandra's
Nerd alert.
Prophecy.
Nerd alert.
Yeah, that's so pretty cool.
It's a very symbolic of, future being bright, wow. Sunrise, and all of this stuff.
Basically, my father is mm-hmm. also Helio. It's very common in the Latin community or Latin America. You follow the same name as your dad.
Right.
And my father is Helio Phidias. And the reason is I'm saying that because my grandma named him after a very famous painter in Greek, which is called Helio Phidias. However, because it's a complicated name, even in Brazil, so I just follow the first name of my dad, and that's why I have this name.
Well, I think it's cool. I like it.
You are a racing superstar, and when I was a kid growing up, you were the Mario Andretti of our time, right? And so our listeners are getting to know you, and hopefully your listeners are joining us on our podcast, Mooch and the Misses, but you're 3-time Indy 500 champ. The race is coming up.
Yep.
I said he's hanging out with us meanwhile he has the biggest day of his life on Sunday.
Times. So, how many people won it 4 times?
Only three. Over 100 years, only 3 drivers were able to win 4 times, which is Rick Mears, Alan Senior, and AJ Foy. So we are in a very special, another one. I mean, last time I won is 2009. It's going to be 10 years. But sounds like this is a great omen because Tiger Woods just came back after 10 years.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but
no,
hopefully your 10 years was less eventful than here.
I'm going to project all this. Let me tell you something about her. Okay, she's a witch. Okay, so in Spanish, bruja.
Yep.
Okay, this one, okay? Total bruja, okay? And so she's very good luck, okay? When I got lucky enough to meet her and brought her into my life, she's brought me good fortune. And so
By the way, I think you're a fellow Taurus, right? You just had a birthday?
That is
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so did I.
May 10. Are you? When?
May 5th. So.
Oh, wow. So we're only...
Yeah.
Stubborn. Oh, my God. It's 2-1. Very stubborn.
No, only when we need to be.
Oh,
no,
my God.
It's not stubborn. We persist in what we want. That's a big difference.
Exactly. That's how I wound up married to you.
Sorry.
Well, because you're,
I hunted you down, baby. You I hunted, set my sights on you.
You hunted me down? Well, that's like sort of flattering. I thought I was making the move on you.
Well, those are my mind tricks. You thought you were doing it on me, but I was really doing it on you.
Okay, well, that was a pretty good mind trick.
So how did you get into racing?
Well, my dad used to have a race team in my hometown.
Is that a big thing in Brazil?
Well, it's not a big thing, but Brazilian loves cars. You know, it doesn't matter what it is.
Well, Brazilians love anything flashy and hot, right?
That's right. They're passionate about it.
Right.
You know, I mean, soccer is the number one sport. Forget about it, but soccer is like right here. And cars for Brazilian, even if it's doesn't matter what brand, if it's new or old, they really cherish your car. So they clean, makes shiny, make sure everything's fine. So that's why I guess racing in Brazil, we have a tradition of great champions. You know, Nelson Piquet, Emerson Fittipaldi, and the long time here, which was Ayrton Senna, which unfortunately was a big crash when he had in 1994, made us very shocked about racing. People like, we just lost our hero. We don't want to watch it anymore. Mm-hmm. So it becoming, in my era, when I start racing, which is about that time, it became very tough, you know, because nobody want to sponsor and things like that. But my dad loves racing, you know, invested on me. My family became invested on me, and I...
But he must have seen something in you, because you can't just do that. It's like,
I tell you what,
I can't even drive on the regular
road. He was a brave, I mean, he's my hero, obviously, and he was a brave person to bet, like, everything. Mm-hmm. Literally, I'm talking about company bankrupt, whole family, everything went to me, and I made it. So,
is he still, he's still with us?
Yes.
So he's now he's reaping all the benefits of your success.
No, he and my mom, they still live in Brazil, but they come back to see the grandkids. And I have a sister. She has like two kids. So they spend about 6 months, 7 months in Brazil, 5 months around here. So it's kind of like great that they come around still.
What do you drive when you're not racing? What's your hot car?
I have a Chevy. For the month of May. I got to be political here because
he's got lots of sponsors.
What do you got? You got a Camaro, a Corvette? What do you got?
Well, I do have the
Malibu
pace car when I won. It was a Corvette. However, a Tahoe, since I have a family.
Yeah,
kid,
us too.
One
kid, we have the SUV
but,
too.
But women, little girls, I guess, they have more stuff than the boys. I don't know.
All kids have tons of shit.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I have a Tahoe. However, I do have also, I race in a different series, which is called IMSA. And I also have like MDX. All very happy family cars. Because I guess when you start building a house, you got to think about other things than just cars.
It's true. Your money goes elsewhere.
So, but you know how to dance.
I know how to dance.
You're a talented dancer.
I learned a choreography, by the way. It's actually interesting because everywhere I go, doesn't matter if it's a nightclub or a wedding or a party, people look at me like
they're expecting you to be like
Dancing with the Stars champion, like, fifth season.
They're expecting him to be like John Travolta from Saturday Night Fever.
Talking, what am I going to do? I can't dance Foxtrot with 5 Cent playing the music. I mean, it's anyway, but it's great experience of my life. Enjoy very much today. 90% of the people that recognize me is
from that show,
is
right?
From that show, yeah.
Do you like? Are you obviously you're competitive, right?
Yeah.
So you really wanted to win the mirror ball?
Well, that's the thing. My expectation was so low. In fact, I packed my bags to stay about a week. My goal actually was not to be the first eliminated. That was my goal. I didn't want to be the race car driver that sucks on dancing. Right. So I got to make sure. And second week passed by, third week passed by.
You had to have your wife send you extra clothes, right?
No, but back then I didn't even
met you weren't
my,
even
this was
okay.
I was single.
Okay.
Actually, I wasn't single. I was engaged, and because of the show, I ended up breaking my engagement. Nothing happened. Nothing between me and Julianne. She's an incredible
friend.
Yeah,
we've met her before. She's pretty nice.
Yeah, she's. But anyway, and then what happened is, I ended up staying 14 weeks. You know, and it was awesome. Great experience.
That's when the show was also like really hot because it was new.
You were the man.
And the stars were actually stars. Like now the dancing with the...
He's got to go, baby. I got two quick questions for running on the source. But
it's unusual that he's cutting me off. I'm usually cutting him off.
I got to watch that clock
here. We have some listener questions.
His handler's
giving us the cut it,
wrap sign. She's giving me the hook. Why do they call you Spider-Man?
Well, when I won my first race, I kind of like made a mistake. I was supposed to go to the pits to celebrate with the team, but I missed the pit entrance. So I stopped in the middle of the track, like in the finish line, and I didn't know what to do. And I was looking for the crew. I was like, where is everybody? And then I look at my left, the crowd was going crazy. They thought I stopped for them, which I did not. However, since I look, I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm going to go celebrate with those guys. And I was so happy when you win your first race.
You're like, my God, it's like the best
it's
feeling,
the thrill
right?
of your life.
Oh,
and
my God,
I
yeah.
jump out of the car, went straight to the fence and start climbing the fence and start like pumping my fist and look, everybody's on the other side. Everybody's looking like, what is this guy doing? After that, when the reporters end up saying, it was the time that the movie Spider-Man
was
coming out,
right?
And this guy's like, here Peter Parker, Spider-Man of racing. And
it stuck with you.
God bless you.
I didn't think, by the way, it wasn't marketing. I was just very
happy. No, it was your emotions. Yeah.
Was it meant to be, would be. So, yeah.
So one last question. I know you have to go. How do you maintain the focus? I mean, you're whipping at high speeds for a long period of time. How do you do it?
Well, experience is one thing. I still desire, still have a lot of passion. I love what I do. For me, race is the air that I breathe. So when you have all these ingredients together, you got to be focused.
Plus, you also don't want to crash and die.
Well, things happen right? very, very quick.
I mean, you have to pay attention. It's not a joke.
And it's tough.
Does your wife, like, is she too, right? worry about you? Because I think that would be my number one thing. Like, I would be so worried about him every single time.
I'm glad I have a daughter.
My wife is a backseat driver, though. I just want to make sure you know that. Like, you don't want to drive in a car with
her. Don't ever take me in the car with
you. You're a professional driver.
I'd have a heart attack
and
die.
She's whacking me, pulling my hair. Let me drive. Get out of the seat. Stop.
Wait, okay, wait. So what are you going to say? Your daughter?
I'm glad I have a
Have you ever texted on the racetrack? I'm just saying, you bring your iPhone out there when you're driving?
No way.
No. It's
a joke, honey. I don't think he's doing that. I'm making a joke.
I know you are.
My daughter, she doesn't into racing. I know today they have like girls that race, which they're incredible, by the way. So for me, the toughest time when I'm driving someone and someone's want to show how good they are, and that's a big no-no, because that's when things mistakes happen, and you're like, just take me from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
Don't. I'm not judging you. I'm not gonna judge you. But if you start doing things like that, then is a. I don't want it to happen.
It's gonna end badly, right?
But it's all good.
She's a judger. I just want you to know, she's very judgmental.
No, I'm not.
Judge all the time.
I judge his driving. I'm not judgmental in life. He's a terrible driver.
Unbelievable.
He backs up into things without looking behind him.
Let's just put it this way: I can never put anything through insurance because I'm getting into an accident like once every four. Fender bender every 4 weeks or something.
No, it happens.
No.
What am I going to do?
He's just
you don't
want
to drive me. I know you got to go. We're wishing you really good vibes.
Best of luck. We'll be watching.
The Bruja is going to put
no,
a
No, you're going to do great.
You're going to do
I'm
great.
Telling
you're
gonna,
you, you're going to
win. You're going to win it.
You got to promise us, though, because you're
going
to win. Okay, you got to come back on our podcast.
If you win, you have to come back.
Because
that's amazing.
We're predicting the win. Okay, I can feel it. Okay, and plus you got the Taurus thing going.
I like it.
And the stubborn. They call it. They call it stubborn. I'm saying I call it stubborn. They call it disciplined persistence.
Here we go.
Right.
But I think you're both very stubborn.
Okay.
I just got, you know.
Whatever. Right?
God bless you, and I wish you nothing but great success.
And thank you for coming on. We know you're busy
thanks
getting
for
ready,
you
so thanks for
best
being here.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.